This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frieda Liu. It's Resource Centre. I have with me Professor Phil Cleaver. He's professor in the creative industries in the School of Art Design at Middlesex University. The multi-award winner has been described as one of England's most eminent graphic designers, and one of Phil's most notable achievements includes winning a yellow pencil, the design equivalent of an Oscar. A protege of Anthony Froshaug, Phil honed his design and typographic skills under Alan Fletcher at Pentagram in 1977, William Crowell at TD in Holland, and Michael Wolfe at Wolfe Olins. He was creative director of Allied International Designers during the mid-80s. He previously established a specialist branding design consultancy, Cleaver Landor, and later set up at All Design Consultants, where he's worked with a varied range of organizations, from large corporate clients like Royal Mail and Evershed's to organizations like the Tate Museum and Ingleby Gallery. He has designed and implemented corporate identities for global clients, including Visa, BNI Bank, Bank Bali, and Bank Duta of Indonesia, Ionian Bank of Greece, and Alstrom Corporation. So welcome to the show. Very interesting history, and you know, maybe you can share a little bit about the early days where you were thrown into a deep end after graduating from the Central School of Art and Design.
After graduation, I ended up in the top design company in the country at the time, working under one of the greatest living designers there has ever been.
Right, I know one of the things that I know today's topic about is about design and how boring design is by boring designers. But the whole concept of design as well, how important is it to a brand's identity? Something, you know, people always think, oh, a little later, we'll worry about it.
I think nowadays, even from an internet cafe to a coffee shop, anyone who wants to stand out from the crowd and say, my business is different, I've got a different product, has got to produce something which says, hello, this is me, this is what I do. So like it or not, you're going to end up branding yourself.
Right.
The point is, if you don't do something, you will build a brand anyway. The main point, as business has progressed over the years, is to realise that brand building is an asset. You get remembered, repeat business, and having a boring brand or boring identity is actually dangerous nowadays.
Right. Okay. Why do you say dangerous?
Because if you're bland and you're boring, you're not going to stand out, and your business is not going to grow. Mm-hmm. The reason people like me now exist and have grown over the years is because large businesses have realised that they need to control their visual identity and what they stand for, because the brand puts more money on the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you know, you wrote a book called What They Didn't Teach You in Design School, and the reason you wrote this book are for students, or...
The first reason I wrote the book is I was commissioned,
mm-hmm.
So it was done for money.
Okay.
The second reason is they teach you creativity in art school.
Right.
They don't teach you how to get a job when you leave art school and how to survive the first year. So there's a very big gap between what you need to know in that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of a book was to bridge that gap. So
right.
When you leave art school, you have your portfolio and you've learnt creativity. Now you've got to work out how to sell it, how to get through the door, how to stay in your job, and how to actually perform. And it's basically a guide on to do all of those things.
And how do you get through the door in the first place?
I kick it down. I'm very good at getting through doors. We had a client who moved to a new premises in London, a very well-known, very big client, and they got new security systems. And the email said, meet me on the 7th floor. So I immediately appeared on time on the 7th floor, and they were completely shocked because they got all these security systems and you can't get onto the 7th floor. So. I ended up starting the meeting with the MD being quizzed on how I beat the security system.
Right. Now, do you feel that design as a business has been taken more seriously? And I would just say, I guess, closer to this part of the world, I would expect it to be a bit more established, you know, in Europe where you are.
I think the difference worldwide now between brands is reducing. I think the potential for branding in Asia and through China, it is now potentially greater than it has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem with a lot of branding worldwide is, especially when Americans are involved, is it gets bland and boring. And I think it really needs to actually come alive so that when you, I mean, the Japanese are quite good. When you see a Japanese car, you know it's Japanese from a branding. Mm. I really want to, you know, Malaysia's such a successful merger of different cultures. It would be great if it actually produced something. So when you looked at a brand, it was international, but you knew it was Malaysian.
Hmm. You know, what's that picture though? You know, if you think something that's Malaysian, because we've got all these cultures merged together.
I haven't worked that one out.
We'll give you a bit more time.
Give me a bit more time.
You know, one of the things as well with you know, working with clients and their big money, they've got money to spend. Have you ever declined work with potential clients because of their values? You know how the reason I'm asking is this: will the best design work if the philosophies and principles are not aligned with what they're telling you during the brief?
If an organisation is trying to do a paint job and actually say we want the public to think we're cuddly and friendly, and in actual fact they're quite the opposite, and all they really want is your money, and they couldn't give a damn about the customers. Mm. That branding won't work, and I know it won't work because it's not true to their organisation. And if an organisation, what they want to project, are complete odds, you can't do it. Mm. You can do it. You can take the client's money, but I'd rather turn around and say you run your business the wrong way around.
Right.
I don't make friends when I do that. And I turn down work because if I don't... One very big company in England, a data collection company, the MD says, can't we get another designer? That guy does nothing but argue with me. And the communications guy goes, yeah, but that's why he's worth a lot of money, because he actually sorts out our problems.
Right. You know, and I know that you're here, you know, with Cut Out, and we'll talk a little bit about your collaboration with them. And right after this, you know, Deadly Sins of Designers, we'll want to hear what you have to say. I'm here with Professor Phil Cleaver. It's a Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's Resource Centre. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. In case you just joined us, I'm having a very interesting conversation with Professor Phil Cleaver, and we're discussing about design as a business. You know, and of course, you're here for a talk, working together with Cut Out. What are you? How are you working together?
Cut Out are actually organising the event. A very successful event we did was organised by Cut Out Magazine. Vivian, who set Cut Out Magazine up, had the belief of trying to help educate and expand design in Malaysia. So as a woman, I imagine it was quite hard to decide to set up a magazine, get it off the ground, and now make it exceptionally successful. And I'm fascinated and very interested in education and passing of knowledge and experience. So the two of us naturally come together with this. And she's kindly organised this event and the publicity for it.
Right, okay. As a woman, why did you say as a woman?
Because on the whole, it's harder for women to start businesses and get more for ground than it is for men.
For design or specifically or just anything?
I think for most things. Which is why if you look at the leading top 500 companies in the world, there's very few females at the top, which I think is exceptionally stupid. Because on the whole, females are much more clever than men.
Right.
And women know that, and men do, but they don't let on.
All right. You know, you talk about the deadly sins of designers. So what are some deadly sins of designers, in your opinion?
Producing boring work.
Okay.
If you just do what the client wants all the time, you could end up with exceptionally bad design work. And if you do a bad design job, you've got to show that job to get the next one.
Right.
If I've designed something and everyone goes, wow, look at that, that's a great idea, I get another job.
Okay.
So I've survived 35 years because I produce things which actually work.
Okay. And how will you know it works?
Because people... Okay, what we did... When we did the City of Cardiff, they wanted people to realise what Cardiff City Council actually did and where your tax-paying money went to. We branded Cardiff City Council so strongly, and it went on every vehicle, so they now knew the dust carts were from the City of Council. They knew the swimming pools and the good things were also from the council. They knew in the parks that which parks were owned by the council. I got phoned up by the chief exec, who said, we've never had so many complaints, Phil, since you've done the branding. So I said, that's because it's the first time they know where to complain. Before, they never knew who to blame. Now they could tell who to blame. So actually sticking your head over a parapet You want to stand out. You've got to actually be take the knocks.
Right. Okay. So you talk about boring design and not listening to the client. I guess because you know your job better. But isn't
no all, no? You listen to the client. The client's never stupid. He's the one who hired you.
Right.
So the client is quite clever because he must like what you do to hire you.
Right.
The point with the client is their business world, your visual world. If you take them with you and explain what you're doing, you show them stage by stage. If they insist if the layout should be look like one way, do what they want and then do what you believe is right and gradually learn to educate clients.
Right.
I always get people say to me, why do you, what we could design what you do, Phil, but our clients won't let us. And I go, well, that's because you don't know what you're doing, because the whole art of graphic design is actually as much working with the client to project the client's ideas, but in the right way. It's not about me being a designer. It's about someone else's communication.
Right. And that comes back with communication as well, because you can do something visually, but if you're not able to communicate that well enough, that could be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, but my communication skills are with visual.
Mm-hmm.
I might not be able, I mean, I'm very dyslexic. Speech is not, sound is not my way of working.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I do is visual.
Right. Now, okay, with this thing about boring design, isn't beauty in the eyes of the beholder?
It is, but then there's recognised standards of beauty where everyone looks at it and goes, wow. The point with it is design shouldn't be judged by beauty or not beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I often get asked people say to me, what do you think to my logo or my card? So I turn the card over and I ask them to do the lift test, describe in 3 minutes exactly what your company is, what it does and what it stands for and how it operates. So they've got to come up with a quick, pretty good description of their business. Then together, not me judging it, we turn it over and look at the graphics and then we both judge, does what he's just said, is it reflected in the card?
All right. Now, when you look at Google, does it say what it does?
No, Google is, by nature of the way it's done the type and stuff, no.
Right.
Why Google works so well is because of its penetration in the market.
So then does design matter?
I think design does matter. I mean, one of the reasons Google gets remembered is not just the fact it's an odd name, but it's actually quite a quirky logo type. And the way we use it is quite creative. It's not a boring brand, and it doesn't look boring.
Okay. Now, you've had such diverse clients from Bank Duta in Indonesia to Ionian Bank of Greece. How do you adopt cultures and identities into your design?
Well, for example, with the Ionia Trapeza, which is the Ionian Bank of Greece, which was the oldest bank in Greece, one of the qualities they wanted to project was the fact they were Greek. It was important to them. So looking at Greek culture, looking at Greek art, one of the main things the Greeks have historically done and developed very strongly was Greek pattern. It's on their vases, it's in their culture, everywhere you look, tiling, everything. Greek pattern is very distinctive. So we looked at using that as a visual language. So we took their own culture and we did a pattern made from the Ionian Sea and also from the Ionian Columns, which is the spiral of growth.
Mm-hmm.
So every manifestation of that bank had a different Greek pattern.
Right.
So it looked international, it looked Greek, and it worked.
Right. Okay. And it was important to be Greek and yet international at the same time.
Correct. In the same way, when we designed, I worked on, I couldn't even write it, which was called Bank Negara Indonesian 1946.
Mm-hmm.
One of the qualities they wanted to get across was that they were international. So we changed the name. I'm exceptionally dyslexic, so I just wrote BNI Bank, which is very simple. A lot of graphic design is actually very simple, straightforward common sense, but it's quite funny how uncommon common sense is.
Right. A bit about your work. You're a trustee with the International Type Academy. What's the work the Academy is doing?
The International Type Academy, it's one historic, this is quite a complicated subject. Historically, but everyone threw away hot metal type, which is the individual characters of lead, wood type, etc. As computers came in, it wiped out 500 years of history,
mm-hmm.
and 500 years of producing typography. And when you look back at the old ways of doing things, They'd actually perfected it to a much higher standard than what the computer does. I spend my life beating the computer so the whole of history got's been warped. And in the old days, you had 5 years training to set type. Now kids leave art school and just set type. They don't know what they're doing.
Right. You know, you talk about winning the yellow pencil. Are these getting more difficult for people to win as there are more players? Or do you...
Winning awards has always been difficult. But if you ever go out to design to win an award, that's not the way to do it. The way to do you win awards is you design the right communication for that client. And I imagine if it's done correctly and it's a great idea, that's what wins awards.
Right.
It lights up people's imagination.
Right. It's been fun speaking to you, Professor Phil Cleaver. This is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.